Hi everyone, and thank you for joining us in another episode of Lid Publishing's podcast, Lid Radio. My name is Miro, and as always, I will be your host for today's show. With me today is author Ben Renshaw. How are you today, Ben?
Great, Miro. Very good to be together.
It's great to have you here on the podcast, and thank you very much for joining us. And of course, Ben is the author of Purpose, and he has joined us today to talk about the book, the themes and ideas behind it. And I can't wait to get into today's conversation, Ben. And of course, for those listening, Ben is an author, speaker, coach, and consultant. Ben's innovative work with leading organizations, senior executives, and entrepreneurs has brought him international acclaim. Formerly a classical violinist, Ben plays a different tune, getting the best out of people. He believes that everyone has a purpose that they have to discover and lead with that purpose as well. It is the greatest opportunity in life. And let's get into today's podcast, Ben. And the first question I have for you is the one I ask any author that actually comes on. And that's, what inspired you to become an author and start writing?
Yeah, look, it's a great question. And I think you already mentioned about my background as a violinist. And I think those are the origins for me, where I grew up as a classical violinist at the Yehudi Menuhin School, nestled in the countryside of Surrey. And in fact, my father ran the school and was my headmaster. So it was an environment very focused on talent. It was very idealistic and really looking at how to use music to get the best out of people. And I think what happened for me, although I was good and I was talented, it was not my passion. And as a consequence of that, it really started my soul searching about what's really important, what matters in life. And that took me all around the world, really, that question of why do I do what I do? What's most important to me? What is really precious and meaningful? And I remember there was a significant moment in India. And I was there with my partner, my now wife, Veronica, and we were to visit the Dalai Lama in Dharamsala. And for those that have been there, it's in the foothills of the Himalayas. It's an extraordinary environment. But we'd taken an overnight bus from New Delhi. We thought we were going to die probably about three times on the journey.
Was it the cold or the...
No. It was the driving. It was right. Terrifying. Luckily, it was at night, so we were able to just keep our eyes shut for most of it. But we arrived and it was end of the monsoon, so it was cold, it was wet, it was damp because the Dalai Lama was there. There was nowhere to stay. We found a basement room that was also damp and wet and moldy. And I remember getting up at 5 in the morning for morning prayers and with the Dalai Lama. His Holiness was present and there was an amazing moment where he walked past. You were there in the crowds and he walked past and our eyes connected. And I just had a moment of reflection where it got me actually to turn inside myself, and rather than looking out there for purpose, I brought that attention back into myself and really realized that my purpose lay within. And so canceled our trip, came back early, back to the comfort of the UK. And that really started my exploration in terms of development. That took me into leadership. And then about 15 years ago, I was asked by the then largest hospitality company in the world, IHG, Intercontinental Hotels Group, to run a leadership program on purpose. And at the time, I had no idea what I was really doing. So I sat there enthusiastically saying, yes, that's a great idea. And that again was a key moment for me to really look at what I do, what does it mean? And what I've realized is that the way I really formulate my thinking best is through writing. And writing is a medium by which you have to become very clear about what you think. And particularly if you're going to be published, then to me, you really have to believe in what you're saying. It has to be your truth, and you've got to stand by it. And so for me, I think the experiences of growing up as a musician was about creativity. Having my father immersed in education was about learning. My curiosity then took me around the world with some key experiences. And then in terms of my work and the evolution of that, it really led me to consider, what do I believe? What do I think? And writing became, and it wasn't natural for me to write. I'm a talker. I'm a communicator.
It is a skill, absolutely.
But it's a skill that you can learn. And I've written 8 books now. Purpose, obviously, that's what we're talking about today. That's my latest book. Fantastic to be working with Lid Publishing. And it just brings together my thinking, my definition of purpose, what it means, what it looks like, and how to live and lead with it.
Great. And let's focus now on the idea of the book. And of course, it's called Purpose. It is a very simple, to-the-point title, but a very powerful one at that. Can you perhaps tell us what was the idea behind this particular book? What you know, you woke up in the morning and you realized this is the name for the book, this is the theme, this is the idea. What was the thought process behind it?
30 years, 30 years
right.
of thinking. So building upon the stories I just shared with you, working with IHG, with a partner, we created this senior leadership program called Leading with Purpose. And I had the great fortune to run that for a 12-year period across the world for over 1,000 leaders in India and China and Asia and America and Europe. And I think that really led me to recognize that everyone has a purpose, but it's very rare for people to know what it is. And what I recognized in my work was that when people had the opportunity to have a methodology and an approach to really discover their purpose, to step back, define it, understand it, articulate it, and then learn to lead with it. And when I talk about leadership, I don't mean a role, a position, a title. I mean a mindset. I mean a way of being, a way to connect, a way to think, a way to communicate, a way to inspire, a way to engage, a way to get the best out of yourself and others. And putting purpose at the heart of that, I believe, is without a doubt probably the most profound way of living your life. And once you've discovered it and then you can live it, it brings you great meaning, great focus, and significance about everything that you do. And in a world of distraction, a world of pressure, a world of uncertainty, insecurity, doubt, everything that I see people face, to me, you've got to have something at the heart of you that's your big yes, that's your big why, and to lead and live with that makes a big difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And kind of leading on from that, a very interesting concept within the book is actually the idea that our purpose is an internal compass that we use. Can you perhaps elaborate on the idea of this compass? Because they point in all sorts of directions and sometimes they can be deceiving as well. Is there any way for us to kind of grab the compass and make it show us the right way?
Yeah. Look, I appreciate you pulling that out from the book. And I do talk about your purposes like your North Star. So for me, a definition of purpose is that it is an aspirational reason for being. And the reason I say it's aspirational is because I think in one way it's always a little in front of you, pulling you in a direction. It's compelling, it's energizing, it's inspiring, it's stretching, it's challenging, it's provocative. And it's your big why. And indicators around purpose is that it provides direction. It gives you clarity. It gives you meaning. And I think in terms of that internal compass, we are faced with multiple choices every day, every moment. I mean, brain researchers estimate that we are having to process about 11 million pieces of information through our senses at any given moment. That's a lot of data. Consciously, we can actually only process about 40 pieces of information. So what happens then is that the mind flicks into autopilot. And literally we shortcut in order to save time and energy. And so we kind of go to what we always know, old habits, old ways of thinking, patterns that actually may or may not be that helpful. Once you become very clear on your purpose, this gives you a very different approach. So here you are, you're processing all this data in any given moment. But how do you know what choice to make? How do you know what decision to make? What's that based on? What's the criteria by which you make those calls? And therefore, by identifying and being very clear and connected with your purpose, to me, it gives you a decision-making framework upon which you can go, yes, this is right. No, this is not. This is where I'm going. This is where I'm not. And it allows you to make all those trade-offs that we're having to do 24 hours a day.
Yeah, and that's very interesting. And there's something that you said that that really resonates with me. And that's this idea of decision-making. And actually, it's a bit like climbing a ladder in a way. And something that you said about, you know, distraction and there's only so much energy and time during the day that one person can spend, I find it very easy to get lost in this idea of chaos. And in a way, for me, if I were to look at purpose, it would be a very interesting guiding light. And sometimes what you have to do is perhaps set smaller goals for yourself, which feed into your bigger purpose, you know, work your way through that, and that will give you a great trajectory on how to actually improve yourself. And man, if you don't, it can be a dark place if you let yourself get lost in, you know, technology and so many distractions and stress and everything that the modern world could bring, really.
Look, I think you've made some very important distinctions there, and it's something I encounter all the time. Often when I ask people what is their purpose, they start by telling me things that they want.
Right.
Yeah, they want a position, a title, a status, a pay grade, a role. They want, you know, a big house. They want a family. They want lots of money. They want to travel the world. They want to do good. These are all great things, but they're not your purpose. They are goals. They are things that you want to achieve. Then another distinction to be aware of is often if I ask people what is their purpose, they'll tell me about their values. So they'll tell me about things like doing the right thing, making a difference, fairness, equality, trust. These are all great things, but values come from learned experience in life. Recently, a leader told me how at aged 8, he was walking home from school. One day, he found a pound on the pavement. Went to his local corner shop, bought a bag of sweets and a model aeroplane. Got home and his mother said, "Where did you get that?" And he said, "Well, I found a pound." So she marched him back to the news agents. He had to hand back the sweets, hand back the model aeroplane, took the pound, apologized to the owner, said, "This is not mine." She then marched her son to the bank and he put the pound back into the bank and said, "I found this." And he learned the value of integrity, doing the right thing and honesty. Your purpose is intrinsic to you. I'm of the belief that you are born with a purpose. It is in your DNA. And part of your life's journey is to discover what it is, and your life's joy is to live it. Now, when you have your purpose, your values, and your goals all lined up, going in the same direction, there's a golden thread that runs through that. That, for me, is then what brings real fulfillment. That, for me, is what enables you not to just achieve success, but to feel successful in the process.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's a dark place if you achieve something and you feel nothing out of it. I'd say not something that I'd like to experience, and it could feel like a waste of time as well.
Well, my first book that I ever wrote was called Successful But Something Missing, and that was absolutely the story of my life up until that point. I was doing a lot, I was achieving a lot, and that emptiness and that hole was there. And genuinely, I mean, it took me about 20 years to discover my purpose. Mm. So now I'm a slow learner. And deliberately the methodology and the book and the approach that I take really accelerates that for people. But it does take a great amount of honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness to really get into your purpose. And I've broken it down into 3 simple steps to discover your purpose. So step number 1 is to identify peak moments from your life. This is times when you've been at your best, you've been in flow, you've been happy, you've been fulfilled, you've really had that experience of being in the zone. And so an example for me growing up was playing sports. So all I wanted to do was play football, and right. that was my passion, that was what I loved. Then moving on a bit, the next peak experience for me was travel. And travel for me opened my world up to different cultures, different ways of living. And that was all about learning and curiosity. And then writing actually has been a peak experience for me. And again, that has been about creativity and discovery. So step number one, you've got to identify peak moments in your life. Then you need to understand what are the key themes, what are the big concepts for you behind those activities. Why were they so significant and meaningful for you? So for me, sports was about passion, travel was about learning, and writing is about creativity. Then you've got to make meaning of those big themes, and you kind of put them in the melting pot and really ask yourself, what would be the ultimate end game, outcome from living those themes? And for me, on a personal note, the way I describe my purpose is to enable truth. So truth for me is what is most significant. I don't define that truth. Actually, what I do is I really create environments where other people can discover their truth. And I think once you really land on your purpose, you'll notice that it is absolutely consistent through all areas of your work and life. So as a dad with three kids, age 16, 12 and 8, look, I have a point of view about how I would like them to live. But I know at the end of the day, if they turn around and say, "Dad, thank you for helping me discover who I am and live my purpose," that's job done. I couldn't think of anything better. In my work as a coach, as a consequence of time with me, if people get closer again to what is true for them, what is real, what is most important, what really matters, fantastic. When I'm developing leaders on my leadership programs, again, it's all about creating the environments for them to discover what does it really mean. Yeah, if, for instance, like I'm doing a lot of work with Heathrow Airport at the moment, we've got a big program running called Leading Sustainable Growth. It's based on four key strategic pillars in the company. It's all good stuff. The plan is there. They've got their hero goals. It's all big stuff. But as a leader, you've got to genuinely engage with that. Authentically, you've got to connect with that and say, what does that mean for me? So whether it be as a dad, as a leader, in my coaching, my purpose around truth and enabling others to discover what's real for them is completely constant, consistent. And as a result of that, it brings me great energy, great meaning, and I'm hugely passionate about it.
Great. And you have, as a matter of fact, answered my next question with that. So thank you for getting the great insights across, Ben. And I would like to, in a way, shift the question in that sense and turn it more on the business side. And that's something that you just finished off on there. And let's say we have some of our listeners, our managers, which might, you know, just now be up and coming within the managerial circle. And they're trying to understand their teams, you know, understand their goals and their abilities and everything. But let's say that they identify a peak moment, perhaps, and they see that something is going great. What would be the next step for them to get that across to their team, to perhaps to reward them appropriately? And how could they really capitalize on that going forward?
Look, it's a great, great point. Now, it's very hard to be generic and just give you know, kind of a list of things, because every situation is different. So I think what's probably more meaningful for leaders is if I bring that to life with one or two examples.
Great.
So probably the most high-performing team that I had the great fortune to support and coach was the leadership team for Terminal 2 at Heathrow. So this is going back a few years now to 2014, and in fact even 2 years before that. And I was coaching the leader of the team. He'd come from the commercial arena, so he'd been heading up retail for the organization. They'd transitioned him into an operational environment, so he was already running Terminal 1, Terminal 3 to build up that operational muscle. And with Terminal 2, strategically what they did was they brought together a matrix team. So in other words, they brought very heavy-hitting players from across the organization to work together in a cross-functional way. And the leader of the team, Brian, actually only had two direct reports. This was very, very new for the organization. It was very hierarchical. You basically only did what you were told by the hierarchy.
Right, yeah.
So it was a very different way of working, but they deliberately did that because they knew the only way they were going to deliver was through big collaboration, working together, breaking down silos, a real environment of transparency and trust. And I'd had the privilege of coaching Brian coming into that. And the place that we started with the team was on purpose. They had a very, very defined objective to open Terminal 2 on time, on budget. £2.5 billion program, big scale.
No pressure.
It's the Queen's terminal. She was going to be there on June the 24th, 2014, to bless the terminal. So, and anything with Heathrow, the CEO describes it, Heathrow's Hollywood, anything about Heathrow, it's big in the news.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, in the UK, we love to celebrate failure. So, of course, everybody wanted another T5 and another failing, and that would get the headlines. So, but what we recognized was that if the team was purely focused on task, there was a risk that people would just get their head down. There was so much to do, so much transaction. They wouldn't be able to stay at the right level of vision and awareness to really, really build momentum. So we actually brought the team together for the very first workshop, first offsite. And there was a lot of resistance. People didn't want to be there. They were busy. They was like, what are we doing? What is this about? What's
right.
this thing about purpose? But actually what transpired, and it wasn't easy, not straightforward, but we began a conversation which ultimately resulted in the team alighting on a shared purpose, common ground, about inspiring people to go beyond what they thought was possible, because there was still a big ask of, were they going to deliver on time, on budget? Was there belief in that? And as a consequence of that, it built momentum. The team came together. We continued to work it. We continued, and they did actually call it their North Star, and they kept very, very focused on this North Star along the way. And I think, as managers, it's critical when you're delivering any big program, any big project, with all the ups and downs, you've got to catch what's working. You've got to focus on the small successes. And so every time we were together, we'd highlight the big successes, we'd recognize those, we'd call them out, and then, of course, we'd work the issues. And we created a very safe environment where everybody could have share a voice, they could get everything on the table, and we just worked it and built that muscle together as a team. And ultimately, it became a culture. And people, came in and out of the team, but the culture was stronger and bigger than any individual. And as a consequence of that, it really enabled them to deliver, but to do it in a way where everybody grew, everybody learned, everybody ultimately was a better version of themselves before the program. So I think, look, as a manager, my encouragement is, for those of you leading teams, you definitely want to engage your teams with, what is a team's purpose? What is the team's North Star? What is the team's big why? This will give you something of meaning over and above just your objectives. Objectives are great. You've got to have the black and white, but you've got to inspire. You've got to lift people up. And by reinforcing that on a constant basis, you will drive better ways of working, better collaboration, and ultimately better outcomes.
Great. And now, we've talked about the idea of purpose. You've given us great examples of it in action, and now we can identify and work on it. But my next question, Ben, is one that's a bit more, I would say, negative in regards to what we've talked about up until now, but I find it to be very important, and that's the wrong type of purpose. And especially within business, with so many factors, everything from shareholders to teams to remote working, I think it is safe to say that people can often get wrapped within the wrong type of purpose, or maybe perhaps not even their purpose, or someone else's. And can you perhaps run us by the dangers for business leaders who get on the wrong track like this, and perhaps how can they really avoid it?
Look, it's an important point. I suppose with the way that I define purpose is I would probably, and look, if we look at, you know, the companies that have crashed, most recently, obviously, Carillion, you know, these tragedies. I mean, even in the news as we speak at the moment, you know, Cambridge Analytics and these companies that they're potentially, you know, their ethics are questionable, their practice modes, their motivations and what drives them. I don't believe that is a purpose. Right. So I think that what happens in business is the two biggest dangers that drive people in business are fear and greed. And fear and greed, absolutely, they lead to corruption. They lead to very, very damaging and destructive practice. And I think what happens is, now, you can call me very naive, but I genuinely believe that most people, the majority of people, wake up wanting to do a good job. Yeah, I personally have yet to come meet anybody that wakes up in the morning and says, I'm intentionally going to underperform.
Yeah, I will be the villain.
I'm going to be. And I think what happens is that you land up in those scenarios, you land up in a room of mirrors where you deceive yourself. And through that self-deception, that to me is then very much causal factors for behaviors that are abhorrent. I don't believe, though, that somebody sets out like that. I think it just there's a lot of pressure on people. They can become very misguided. I would like to think that if somebody has alighted on a true purpose, actually that's what pulls them up. It becomes their conscience. It actually would prevent and be a blocker and a barrier to those types of behaviors. However, I have to work with cynicism every day because there's so many examples. I mean, you look at these company slogans and mantras that are meaningless, and there's nothing worse. And I really, really counsel leaders on this. Yeah, if you're exploring purpose, do not go out there with another slogan until you've really tested it, until it's absolutely meaningful, until it's really authentic, because all it will do, it will just absolutely ignite that cynicism, and rightly so. So as an example, I was working with a technology company. They were being very, very challenged, you know, by the, you know, online digitalization, the Amazons, etc., coming at them. And so they had to really go back to their roots. Why do they exist? Why are they here? What's their real value? What's the differentiator for them? And I initially worked with their executive, and where they came out as an exec was a purpose that they described as making lives easier. And they explored that through the lens of colleagues and employees. They explored it through the lens of customers and shareholders. And it seemed to be a truth that really resonated with them, that through technology, it's an enabler to make everybody's lives easier. But I really counseled them. So they got excited. They wanted to go out with a big banger. I said, absolutely not. They had a top 100 event coming up, you know, with their top senior leaders in the business. I said, look, why don't you mirror the process that we've been through and see where your team members come out? And so rather than just being directive and giving it to them, you know, do it in a really collaborative way. And you're going to have to sit on your point of view, but you'll see where you come out. So we conducted a similar process, and it was quite remarkable that not exactly in those words, but absolutely those themes came through around making lives easier. And I think when you pull a purpose from within, then actually your job in terms of creating buy-in and meaning is already done, because it's come from within the organization, from the heart of it. And as a consequence of that, it's not imposed. People welcome it. And then again, it provides that true north for the direction that you want to go.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you say, it saves that cynicism and that level of perhaps fakeness or something being there for the sake of it being there. And I think that's just a matter of time, as you say, before it implodes. It's a matter of when, not as a matter of if it will. But on that note, Ben, the last question I want to ask you is actually the one I ask everyone that comes on the podcast, and it is a bit different, but what are you currently reading?
I usually have a few books or a few things on the go. The book I'm immersed in at the moment is When. So by Daniel Pink, who actually very kindly endorsed Purpose. And he's a fantastic author, a great thinker. His first book, Drive, really caught my attention when he talked about purpose and mastery and autonomy and, you know, what are the real motivations for people. But When is about the science of time. And I find it's a fascinating read to really look at when, as an example, when is the best time to make a decision? When is the best time to exercise? When is the best time to just step back and reflect? And a lot of the time I think we think, oh, you know, it's on instinct, it's this or that. But he really, you know, exposes all those myths, presents us with the science of time. So it's very, very thought-provoking from that perspective. I always like to challenge myself as well with different points of view. So Wired magazine is a magazine that, you know, about technology and about the future, and it really challenges me. There's a great article in there this month about a Chinese company that's taking on Uber, and it's blowing them out of the water. And so, again, it really provokes my thinking. And in the kind of disruptive world which we're in, you know, in what I do in terms of leadership, for me, it's just key to kind of constantly challenge my own thinking. So I love to read, Seth Godin for me. That's a daily blog that I love his thinking off the wall. I follow Simon Sinek's work because obviously Start With Why has been very complimentary. So again, just his thought for the day is very provocative. And so that gives you a bit of a collection.
Yeah, and of course, going back to decision making, I can definitely tell the audience a tip, which I might have said before, but don't make decision making when you're hungry or when you're sleepy. And don't go in a restaurant when you're really, really hungry. You're going to regret it. That's the one thing I can definitely tell you from experience, do not do.
Real wisdom, Myra. Yeah. Real wisdom.
Of course, with that, Ben, I would like to thank you very much for joining us today on a podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure to come in and talk about purpose.
Thank you very much.
And of course, for our audience, if you enjoyed our conversation today, you can check out the description below where you can find out more information about Purpose, the purchase links to the book, and of course, Ben and his work. And if you'd like to get in touch with him as well, there will be social media profiles for you to reach out and see what he's up to. I would like to thank you very much for joining us today on the podcast. It's always a pleasure to have our listeners tune in, and you can find us on our social media channels at Lit Radio. And we very much look forward to seeing you next week.